Hello and welcome to Bold Conscious Connections, the show where we delve into the journeys of exceptional individuals who have embraced their true potential. My name is Raju Panjwani, your guide on this adventure of discovery. In each episode, we connect with inspiring leaders, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who share their stories of transformation, resilience, and success. This is a space for you to find inspiration, my friends, learn from others' experiences, and ignite your own path of personal and professional growth. Now, so whether you're seeking a spark of motivation or strategies for success, join us on this journey of bold and conscious connections. In this refreshed season 4, Bold Entrepreneurial Tales, we're celebrating the stories of individuals who bravely stepped beyond traditional roles to follow their entrepreneurial hearts, as I say. These are not just business stories. They're personal journeys of courage, creativity, and transformation. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own venture or seeking inspiration to keep going, these tales are for you. Join us as we share relatable life experiences, real life experiences, challenges and triumphs that resonate with your journey towards success and fulfillment. Now, without further ado, let me get to today's episode. So we bring you my very, very wonderful friend, Ajay Anand. Ajay is the chairman, CEO, and managing director of Phase 3. It's a textile manufacturing company in India. Ajay has been in business for over 35 years, and I've known him for 20 of those years, and I've seen him go through ups and downs of life, which he so delicately, transparently, authentically conveys in his wonderful conversation with us in this episode. He is a true hallmark of what it means to be bold, and he dropped some great nuggets in this episode. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Ajay Anand. I want to welcome Ajay Anand, my very good friend, probably my best friend ever. Ajay, welcome again to the show. You know, your episode that we had with you almost a couple of years ago was probably the most downloaded and the most liked. And so I'm just delighted to have you back again.
Thank you very much. I am quite honored that my podcast, Humble Podcast, was liked the most. Well, I'm here and quite looking forward to doing another one with you.
Well, you know, your humility and your genuineness, et cetera, just comes through. You know, it's funny, you are who you are. And I think it's not, you know, people don't miss that. So again, so, you know, I've been a slight change in the focus from my perspective is that the podcast, which is still the same, Bold Conscious Connections. The idea is that a lot more of the people that are listening or watching tend to be people who are corporate executives who want to be entrepreneurs because they feel there's more to life than simply being in a job forever. So they might have spent 20 plus years and now they're looking to move and they just don't know how to do it. So that's what I'm helping them do. But so when I bring people like you, it's just inspiring for them to hear what's possible, what the challenges are. So the essence is the same. I just trying to tell you that the audience may be a little bit different than the last time. So, of course, you're the CEO, founder, successful veteran of this company called Phase 3. It's gone through its ups and downs. It's listed in India. So it's a company that manufactures and supplies home textiles and automobile fabrics to major big box stores, US and everywhere else. But more important right now, what I would like to ask you, Ajay, is not what you do, but who you are.
Who am I? I'm definitely a person who is seeking dharma. Dharma means the eternal truth, righteous. I am that person. In all my endeavors that I do, because I have seen it ever since I started my business, I started small, never knew how big it would be, when will it be. But I kept very pursuing the fact that I was going to do what I was going to do. And I did it to the best of my ability. And as I did what I did well, it led to the next good thing to happen. So it doesn't matter how big or small it is. I would say I'm a person who is very, very, very persistent on what I decide to do and then I take it to the final goal. This actually puts me in perspective as my biggest test came when we, in 2009, when the Lehman Brothers crisis took place. And there were the liabilities of all my overseas operations in Germany, Hungary, England. All those liabilities came on to the Indian company. So there were two paths. The one was the righteous path, was to fight back and do the right thing. And the other was to let it slip and just take out money and walk away. So we kept the tough path. And today we have been rewarded by it because we went through the cycle on the righteous path. So I would say that who I am, I seek truth in what I do, in the friends I make, and my conscience and what I can do in every walk of life.
Beautiful. So does that mean that what you started with, small or whatever it was, as to what the business was going to be, is not necessarily what it is today after almost two or three decades?
I had absolutely no idea that we would be 1,200, 1,500 crore company valued at that. And we can only see it go up from here. And 10 years ago, it was in the doomsday. It was not meant to be where it is supposed to be today. So the idea is to be good at what you do, persistent at what you do, and do the right thing.
So reflecting on the journey, would you say, was that the main moment that tested your resilience, or were there others as well when your leadership was under pressure?
I think it's a constant, I would say, journey. It is not one of a kind journey. It's a journey that you undertake, you walk, and you pursue. It's not a one incident. You are constantly being challenged. The options are constantly being given to you. The coin is constantly being tossed, whether you're going to take heads or tail as your choice. And knowing very well that which is the right. For your inner self, everybody knows what is right and what is wrong. It's the mind that tells you what is right, you know, what you should do. Where it sees convenience, it sees greed, it sees all the other aspects.
So it's funny you should say that, because most of the, you know, if the mind is in control, your inner voice cannot be even heard. So the inner voice is there, but you don't hear it. It's because everything else is too loud, right? The mind is too loud. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, your inner self becomes loud when you give it fuel to foster, to become more prevalent in your way of life. And this happens when you are in constant company of the correct kind of people. You know, the conscious people of what is right, what is wrong. You know, it reminds me of what is propagated to us, saying, you know, keep the right company, satsang.
Yeah.
Satya sanga rakho, you know, the truth, keep the company of the eternal truth. So satsang, and what is it? It's not about listening to something good, but it's trying to remind you what is good and what you should do. And the kind of people that you should be associating it with. So I think inner self becomes loud once you are constantly giving it the winning post. You know, you say, no, I won't listen to my mind. I'll listen to my heart, because this is what is correct.
Right.
Even though it's an option, but you take it. And you find that in the long run, it's to your benefit.
Right. Yeah, and absolutely, absolutely. So the practices, I mean, one of these is surround yourself with people that are, you know, not like-minded, but more that they're heart-centered and they know you say right from wrong. But it's really the way, how do you practice that? So other than, let's say, engaging with the people who are also, you know, deeply connected with themselves. Are there other
things? Just make the right choice. I mean, just do what is right. I mean, in the walk of life, you know, do you shortchange your customer because you can get away with it? Do you inculcate practices in your company which you can get away with it, and you think that nobody is looking at? It's like playing golf, you know. You are far away, the other guy is on the other side. You can do what you want to do.
That's
thinking
right.
That you cannot see it.
Right.
And mind you, when you do something wrong, your heart tells you, and there are more chances that you will duff it or you will miss it, then you will get a good shot.
Right.
And so it shows up in your conscience. It tells you.
You know, Ajay, one of the things I had in my mind for today's conversation was really that we should have a conversation as opposed to me asking you questions. But just as well, we may do that another time. Like we're just having a chat about an exchange of some things. But let's continue with this piece about the philosophy. So where you are today, you had this business for almost 30 plus years now, I think. Is that correct? Or you've been at this for a while?
Yeah, about 40 years. Yeah, 40 years.
So the business philosophy has evolved clearly based on your own understanding and being on this path. And then your business is like B2B to C, right? So you also have the essence, if you will, through your customers, the ultimate customer, the user that, you know, uses bath mats or kitchen fabric, etc. What have you seen evolve in that light? In the light of your own philosophy evolving? I mean, how has the customer evolved?
I mean, I have seen that because you did the right, you may not have, you know, you lost businesses because they were 10 cents higher or 20 cents higher than the product. And the big wolves, everybody wants the best price in town.
Sure.
So, but the company has really grown on the fact that they have bought what they did. They didn't get what they anticipated. And then we were the second choice. And then the second choice became the consistent choice for them. So it was a wait and be sure that what you do is right. You have to be patient in what you believe in. And then finally, when the time is right, it comes to you. So it is not about instant, you know, you feel bad when you don't get business. But you see, feel double high when they come to you and they say that we would like to do business with you and we would like to place this business with you. And that's only because they come back to the fact that you are a reliable resource rather than one of suppliers who does what everybody does. And that has been the most rewarding as a person.
And do you think that's changed? Because ultimately, you know, people want to do business with people who they trust, right? Who they care for. Now, if you're attracting customers as opposed to pushing a product on them, it's a very big difference, right? So attraction marketing is the new buzzword around these days. Is this what this is for you?
No, not really. Yeah, of course, you have to be in the loop with the right product, with the right design, with the right quality, with the right pricing. Of course, you have to be. It's like the auto industry. The auto industry does not accept any failures. We started this journey about 25 years ago, the automotive seat fabric business. And in 25 years, we were doing very well. Then all the big guns came to India and there were 12 suppliers in the marketplace. And we were probably 10% of the market. And we waited, we gave quality, we regrouped ourselves, we always did what we were best. And today, one in every two cars made in India is supplied by us. Only because we waited. We let the other person undercut us, underprice us, but not being able to execute at what was not to be happening. And today we are the choice of the market. The same thing goes with our home textiles. I mean, we were not the biggest players. We were a medium size or small size with people like Walmart, Target, everybody. And today we have been asked to take on businesses that is moving from China to India or to another country. So we have been asked to bid on it and take it and put our factories there. We have put up two factories because we were requested to put that factory up. So it's a great honor that you have been asked, you've been chosen to substitute another country. And that's a big honor. So, and why did that come? Because you kept your reputation intact. You kept your principles intact. So it pays back. It pays back.
Absolutely. I know this sounds rather philosophical and oh, we are the righteous people. But you had some stories the last time we talked. And it was about when were you really bold and aren't you always bold? But there's always a new level, right? So tell us a story about where you actually had to be really find that courage to make a big move, make that leap.
This move was when we had to file for bankruptcy in 2012. when Lehman Brothers took place, and we had a liability that the company couldn't afford. It was the liability was as much as the company's revenue. And it was almost like an impossible task, an uphill task. And all the gurus, the so-called gurus who were around me, all said that this is not practical. They have never seen a case like this happen. But we said, but we have not done anything wrong. It's the circumstances that the company in India was still a good company. It was a profitable company. And it should not be just because we gave a guarantee that we should go under.
Yeah.
So we kept on it. We kept persistent on it. We kept taking all the abusive threats from the banks and et cetera. But we cajoled them. We gave them all the money. We sold off assets. We did everything that you can think of. Till in 2016, when we paid back everybody, we paid back our debt, all the debtors that we had around us. And for the first time in 2016, starting from 2009-10 till 2016, that's all we did. We regrouped ourselves and we kept at it. And we made sure that we didn't default with the banks. We kept paying them back. And that day, 2016 and 2023, where our company was, it was 6 rupees a share. Today it's quoted at 450 rupees a share. Mm-hmm. So that is not, on paper, that was an impossible task.
What I'm asking is, how did you muster that courage to stay focused? And because you had your team.
Inner calling that you hang in there. Don't give up.
Okay.
Don't give up. Don't give up because you have not done something right. You have the means to do it. Your businesses are good. I went to Walmart and I said my Dun & Bradstreet rating was very bad. I went to Walmart. I spoke to the buyer, senior buyer. And I said, we have done nothing wrong. We have been supplying you. And they cannot place an order with you without the Dun & Bradstreet rating, which has to be on the positive, on the business
side. Yeah.
They made exceptions for us. They never do it. They made exceptions for us. We were bold enough to tell them that we have never defaulted. You see our supplies, that we have never been wrong. And they accepted you at face value. It was a miraculous happening for the company. And here we are.
Well, as you say, miracles will follow you if you're, you know, standing in the truth, right? Of what you are.
Yeah. I'm a big advocate of it. I will never,
of course,
never say otherwise because I have seen it happen again and again.
Yeah. Well, I know that personally, and how you support, you know, people like me. I appreciate that. So, you know, people who are still watching or listening to this, Ajay, for those high-level executives who are considering entrepreneurship because they've kind of come to this, they're unfulfilled, sitting on this hamster wheel, like, there's more to life. I'm going to go jump. But listening to this, they might be like scared to death. Like, how will I make this decision? So what should be the top three things or maybe one or two things that they should evaluate before making that decision to make the transition out?
The key was that, do we have the business to support it? That was one thing. And then that's what we evaluated. And we saw on paper that we had the business to support it. So that was point number one, that there was no
way. I'm talking about people who are listening, who are considering leaving their position after, you know, 20 years of work. Listening to you might say, I'm scared now. I really want to make the decision to move. I've made the decision. I just don't know what to do and how to do it. But I'm listening to this entrepreneur who's scaring me.
You can't just jump into a wilderness in darkness, not knowing, you know, at least there should be a path where you walk on. You just can't jump into a jungle and with no path and say, I'm going to find a path. I'm going to carve a path. No, that's not there.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to have some direction. I mean, you have to have a compass in you with you to know whether you're heading east, west, north, south. I mean, we just can't go in wilderness. And, you know, it's like the journey in my journey. When we started in textiles, we started very small. We started on a product which was, you know, we hardly did $200,000 a year business. But we caught on to a product which was textiles in home. And from there, we led ourselves into going more and more and more and more. And every time we went in, the person said, okay, can you do this for me? Or can you not do this for me? Or I can do this for you. And you venture out. So there has to be some lead of a path that you walk on. I mean, you just can't jump into nowhere in the desert and say, okay, I'm walking. So that's the first criterion first criterion. And secondly, make sure that you are able to honor what you commit. And honor doesn't always, it doesn't mean how big or small it is, but you must honor what you say.
Right.
Even if it means no money for you initially, but that's the testing time, but make sure you honor what you commit. That has been, I would say, the number one, I would say, success, that no matter, even though we had losses when we had committed something, we honored it. That, even in today's time where there is so much of cutthroat attitude or atmosphere in businesses,
but of course,
once you honor, people come back to you. Right. People want truthful people to be, people want to believe you as much as possible. And that is very important, that you honor what you say.
Right. So beyond the financial aspects, Ajay, you know, what personal and professional considerations should they be, should be top of mind for them who are looking to say, okay, I have an idea, I'm going to pursue it, or they figured all that out. What personal and professional considerations should they think about? Because it's not just all about the money.
Yeah, I mean, are you doing it out of desperation, or are you really believing in what you want to do? I mean, that's very important. If you're doing it out of desperation, then know that it is being out of desperation. You know that this is not. I mean, I drove a taxi in New York for a year and a half because I had to make a living. But I knew that that was not, that was my desperate move, because I had to make sure that I could, you know, feed myself and clothe myself and have a home over my head, a roof over my head. So, but that was not the path I was going to follow, but I had to have a means to follow. And in that scope of time, this opportunity for textiles came in. So what were you doing? You were not borrowing money and then, you know, shafting people or trying to pull a fast one on people. You were really making an honest life. It pays you back. It pays you back. Your attitude pays you back.
Beautiful, man. Well, I could just listen and talk to you all day. And I have a few rapid fire questions for you. I hope you're open for that.
Yeah, sure.
Before I get to that, you know, the balancing the inherent risks of business, leaving a secure job, and now the world is even more uncertain, you know, as from the point of view of a lot of people. But yet they understand, they've tasted the, you know, working from home, the hybrid, the remote model. Everybody thinks that entrepreneurship is the way to go. They can provide their gifts to the world, which is all fine. But how do you navigate this balance? And what, apart from the things you just talked about, what would give them that confidence that, yes, you know, I should really consider this. I have something to give to this world.
Only about 3% of the people are business people in the world. 3%, 5%, whatever the thing is, could be a percent up and down. The rest all are part of the rest all contribute to make that happen, that business happen. So really, it's not a bad thing to not to be a businessman and have a good job. I mean, it's not a bad thing at all.
No, not at all.
If you excel in what you do and you're good at what you do, you are as precious as a person who's running a business. So I don't think that should be the motivation for a person to say that, you know, I want to be successful. I should kick up my job and take up a, you know, a business career. It's not so. There are more failures than
I'm thinking about people who already have that. They know they have a desire and they've got the stable income, et cetera, but they're not satisfied with that. So the idea is they want to make that jump. They have decided to make that jump because they think they have something more to give. But there is always that little, yep, you're not used to it, right? 3% of the world is entrepreneurs and the rest work for them. And everybody is necessary in a cog in the wheel, and not necessarily, it's not inferior. It's just a question of where your desire outweighs what you're going through.
I mean, you it's a very difficult proposition, because you can dabble with something that you want to do and test grounds. But definitely, you should have your feet on the ground at all times. I mean, you shouldn't, you know, start to think that you can fly because you have stepped out and worry about it. I think that you have to be very cautious. It's a tough path. It's a tough path. And luck plays a very important part. As far as I'm concerned, I think luck is a very important part, that the right things happen at the right time for you. And maybe all the, you know, the pieces and the puzzle have to fall in place at the right time. So yeah, it's worth trying. I mean, there's you without trying, you'll never know, but you can try 10% of what you have and see if it works for you. But if you put in your 100%, 100 out of 100 in it, then I don't think that that is a wise decision, because there are as much chances of failing as success.
Sure.
I don't think that is that's a decision that would be wise, especially if you have a family.
Hey, listen, I've known you for almost 25 years, and you've 20 of my years have been being in business. So I'm on my sixth startup. Yeah, just the question is, why the hell don't I shut up and go back to doing something more normal? But I don't. So there is something in me that just keeps me going. So that fire is important, I guess, is what you're saying. But yeah, don't put all the eggs in that one basket. So I think
Yeah,
that's
I
well said.
mean, definitely, I would advocate that. Definitely. Yeah, tread softly.
Yeah, tread softly.
Yeah.
Then that's not bold. Or that's bold. You're saying it's a soft bold.
It's a bold because you're trying, are you at least going towards that path? But bold doesn't mean you have to be unsensible. You know, you have to, that's what you mean. I mean, like, I'm bold. I know I'm a very fit guy, so I'll jump out of my ninth floor of my building. I mean, hello. It's a word that is misused. You know, bold
That's right.
doesn't mean that. You have to be sensible about it.
Awesome. So I'm going to do a rapid fire here quickly. So, just one word, two words, whatever you think comes to mind, okay? An
Okay.
entrepreneur you admire.
An entrepreneur, I would say a person or a company.
A
I would
person, an
say
individual leader, entrepreneur that inspires you.
it's difficult
Okay.
for me to name
We can
any.
come back to it.
Yeah.
An unconventional source of wisdom. Unconventional source of wisdom.
Unconventional, the scriptures, the Hindu scriptures.
Nobody reads them, I guess, huh?
But there are excerpts, there are paragraphs, there are writings. There are enough talks about it.
Yeah, I know you and I share that. It's just okay, that's great. One piece of advice you'd give your younger self, younger Ajay.
My younger Ajay would be, make sure you read the paragraph at least a dozen times. Don't be in a rush.
Your mantra for dealing with uncertainty. The first thought that comes to mind when you're facing an unexpected challenge. Same thing.
Keep quiet and contemplate. Don't react.
A habit that contributes to your success.
I'm a keen listener and a quick learner.
Awesome. An idea worth spreading.
You must learn to share.
Listen to share. What are you thinking there?
Anything, whether it's your knowledge, whether it's your wealth, whether it's your ability to do what you can do to help others, you must do that.
Beautiful, beautiful. A book that has changed your perspective.
There are two books. One is the Bhagavad Gita and one is the Gospel of Ramakrishna Paramhans.
Yes, I'm familiar with both of them. This is an interesting question. The most underrated skill in leadership. The most underrated skill.
A kind leader. A soft leader.
Love it. Okay, the first thing to do after deciding to becoming an entrepreneur.
Make sure that everybody under your umbrella benefits as you have.
All right. Okay, one last thing on this. Is there something you want to tell your team members who might be watching or listening to this?
I'm going to be around for a long, long time.
What? Is that meant to be a compliment for them, or what do you mean?
I think no, I think that I'm 70 and I don't see myself retiring. Although the reins have gone into the younger hands, but I enjoy working, I enjoy being active, I enjoy interacting, I enjoy building new things. So I will stay in the company for a long
Are
time.
there words of wisdom you want to convey to them?
Never give up. Have
Never give
faith.
up. Awesome.
Yeah, never give up. Just have faith.
All right. So I'm going to take a pause there for another future conversation that we could have, since you're not going anywhere. And I hope I'm not going anywhere. But,
no,
but really, it's always fun to have this conversation and share with others, because, you know, whoever's listening, watching, I'm sure they get a lot of nuggets and lots of wisdom from you, Ajay. So I really appreciate it.
I enjoy every moment we spend together and then we talk. So it's just a heartfelt conversation that the two of us are having.
That's right.
Meaningful, and as we always do.
So is there any last minute words you want to say? Is there something new that came out of this conversation for you?
Listen to your heart. Listen to your inner self.
Good.
Yeah. Go with it. I will say that.
All right. Okay. Well, Ajay, always
thank
a pleasure.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So all the details of if people want to find you, they can find you in the show notes to this podcast. And as always, joyful to have you here. Keep
thank
going.
You. Thank you very much.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that, my friend, brings us to the end of another episode of Bold Conscious Connections. I hope today's conversation has sparked new ideas and inspired you to embrace your own journey of growth and entrepreneurship. Remember, every step forward is a step towards achieving your dreams and your success. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and download the episode that you heard today. This way you can stay connected with our community of bold and conscious leaders. Take at least one action today, my friend, towards your goals, and join us next time for more empowering stories and insights. Here is to your power.